You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing out there? It's been about a year since I've preached, so let's see if I still remember how to do this. I think it's not depending on me anyway, so that's good. It's really all about God, so let's praise God for that. Worshiping, thank you for leading us to the throne room of God, because he truly is the one that is in control. And if you get anything from today, I want you to hear this. God is the one that brings the power. God has the plans. God is the one in charge of everything. And I know a lot of us bring a lot to the table today as far as some of your lives are chaotic and seem out of control. And it seems as though there's little hope. Some of you are in fear of what's happening today and tomorrow. Some of us are getting blessed beyond our understanding. There's all kinds of things that we're bringing into this room right now. And so what I want to do is I want to calm us down. Because today we're talking about healing. And we're not just talking about, like, you're sick, so you go to the doctors and you get, antibiotics or something like that. And, you know, in 3 to 5 days you'll be fine. I'm talking about godly, miraculous healing that can only be explained by God. And I want to slow us down because that can bring a lot of different things. I was reminded of Mother's Day. Mother's Day for a lot of us is an awesome day. We celebrate some of the greatest ladies that we know on the planet, right? And yet for others, there might be great pain attached to Mother's Day. Someone might be having trouble having kids. And so Mother's Day isn't a fun day. For some of us, we've lost our mothers, and so that's an extremely painful thing. And so when we talk about Mother's Day, for some of us it's super high, some of us it's super low, some of us are just floating in the middle somewhere. Same thing with healing. A lot of us are dealing with different pains and struggles health-wise, and so we've been praying for ourselves or somebody else, and we wonder why the healing's not going the way we want. And others have been miraculously healed. And so you're ecstatic. Yeah, this is awesome. Let's get pumped up. And so what I want to do is I want to bring a level of calmness and peace into this message, because I don't want to ride in too high and miss some of the low points that we need to struggle and suffer through. And I don't want to come in so low as if there's no hope, because I don't know if God really cares. I don't know if he's really listening. I don't know if he really has the power to heal what I'm going through. Because the truth is, he is. And the truth is, I don't know why he heals some and he doesn't heal others. I don't know why he heals completely. Like, I want this all to be gone, and he does that. John mentioned Lazarus. Like, he was dead and he came back. He should have been at least smelly. And he probably smelled really good, because Jesus probably was like, even get rid of the smell, it's cool. Right? He was in the grave for days, and that dude came out smelling like he had lots of Axe on or something. I don't know. That's a terrible... No, he didn't have Axe on. Anyway, I haven't been doing this for like a year, so I'm a little... So let's pray for me and pray for all of us. God, you truly are the one that is good. You are the one that knows all. You are perfect. And Lord, forgive us for being down here in our short-sightedness. We can't see all that you see. And so we don't understand how healing works. We don't understand why you heal some and some not. And some you don't heal us the way that we want. And so it's a touchy subject for us, Lord. But Heavenly Father, bottom line, you are good. And healing is good. And it is to be used for your glory. And so, Heavenly Father, no matter how you heal us on a daily basis, no matter what you protect us from, what you don't protect us from, we serve you, we love you, and we offer up this next hour or so to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read this story so you get the context. I'm going to read it fast because we got a lot to go through. And then we're going to break it down. All right? So we're going to read the whole thing fast. So get your speed listening activities going. And in this time also, ask God, God, get my heart ready to hear you. Whether you're anxious, nervous, tense, or you're super, super happy, ask God to help your heart to relax, to receive what he has for you today. So we'll be reading 2 Kings 5, 1 through 19. And it says, "The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army." That was louder than I thought it'd be. "Because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, 'I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy.' So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. 'Go and visit the prophet,' the king of Aram told him. 'I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel.' So Naaman started out, carrying his gifts, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, 'With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy.' When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, 'Am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me.' But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him: 'Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel.' So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message: 'Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy.' But Naaman became angry and stalked away. 'I thought he would certainly come out to meet me,' he said. 'I expect him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call in the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?' So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, 'Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, "Go and wash and be cured."' So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, 'Now I know there is no God in all the world except Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant.' But Elisha replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts.' And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, 'All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifice to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing: when my master the king goes into the temple of the god Ramon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too.' 'Go in peace,' Elisha said. So Naaman started home again." So we read that pretty fast, and this might be how your quiet times go sometimes when you read. You just kind of read through, and we miss so much. So now I'm going to break it down as a story, and we're going to look at all the characters. And a lot of the teaching team has touched on this. Don't connect with 1 or 2 characters. I want you to see where you act like just about all of these. There's sometimes we do really well, like the soldiers, and they redirect Naaman back to God. Like, "Hey, man, if you did something hard, you would have done it, right? Yeah. So let's just go ahead and get dipped. Let's do it." Right? And then there's other times where we get like Naaman and we get upset. Like, "I thought he'd at least come out to meet me." You know what I mean? And we lose track. And this is very important because healing is a hard thing to accept. Right? If we did a survey right now and we said, "Hey, how many of you could go out And if God said, "Hey, go pray for that stranger. Their leg is broke. Go heal it." Like, I'd be like, "Oh man, a broken leg. You just want me to go up to that guy?" Right? That's hard. It takes faith. It takes obedience. It takes a lot. And I'm going to go through the story, and we're going to realize how many places the healing might have missed if any one of these characters would have said, "No, I'm not doing it." If any of them got stubborn, if any of them got distracted to the point where they just lose focus, the healing at the very end would not have happened. And I want us to know, I think that's one of the greatest, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why more healings don't happen. Now, with that said, again, God is the one in charge of healing. So I don't want you to think if I stay focused enough or if I pray enough and if I'm obedient enough, this healing will happen. Healing is not, you're not in charge of healing. God is in charge of healing. So before we go through this story, do not try to memorize what happens. I need to make sure I do it this way and then anybody I touch should be healed. Okay, I've been asked to pray for healing many times and I'm like a baseball player. I'm somewhere between 30 and 70%, right? professional baseball players strike out all the time. Here's the thing though, they keep going back to the plate. They keep going back. And so as I pray for somebody and I'm like, God, please heal this person, and they don't get healed, that does not mean, oh, God's not real, he's not paying attention, or maybe he didn't have the power. Stop. God is in charge of the healing, and I don't know why he heals some and not others. All right? But let's go through this with that said. All right. Verse. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Point number one, God is in control. Let's talk about Naaman real quick. He was a great, mighty warrior. He wasn't afraid to go into battle. He wasn't afraid to lead people into battle. And remember, these are battles where you go and you meet your enemies face to face with spears and stuff. Like, it's very close combat. So it's not like I'm going to shoot you from way back here. Like, I'm going to go and we're going to battle. We're going to be fighting, and this guy could die in any one of the battles. He also had the responsibility of leading his men into battle. So a lot of his friends, a lot of people that are his right-hand men can die. And this dude is an amazing leader, and yet as strong as he is, and as all the victories that he's led his army through, he had this disease that plagued him for a long time. And there's nothing he can do. And remember, it says right here, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman. So he had his favor. He had the favor of the king. And with all of the king's power and influence at his disposal, nothing can be done to heal him. So man has nothing to do with healing most of the time. Only God could heal Naaman of this leprosy, right? And so let's keep reading. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, God's people, God's land. And among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Girl, be quiet. What are you doing? So let's put this into context. This isn't like your family friend coming over. This isn't one of the other commanders of another army with great power, prestige. This is one of the little girls, right? Maybe in her teens. I'm not sure exactly how old she is, but she's young. So it's not like this 30 to 40, 50-year-old woman with great wisdom and power. No, this was the land that we just conquered, okay? We went in there and we took a lot of slaves. So this is a slave girl. It says servant, that's a nice way to say, you got to do whatever I say or I kill you. So you have no rights. She's a little girl. And again, in that time, women didn't have as many rights as men. And so this is not only a female, but a slave to the female of the house. So we're talking of all the spectrum of who has the most power. This is the lowliest of low. And she has the nerve to say to the mistress, to the wife, you know what you should do? I really wish it'd be awesome if you go back to my land. I know we just lost the war and our God didn't save us from that. And I'm a slave now and you guys have all the power. But I really think it'd be a good idea if you go back to one of our religious leaders over there, because he could heal your boy with all the stuff that he's going through, you know, with the skin, you know, it's all ugly and nasty. I think he could do it. And now listen to the chain of command it goes up through. She tells the wife, then obviously the wife tells the husband. Now the husband could all, now first of all, the wife could have been like, little girl, please, just go get my makeup, all right? Make me look pretty. That's all your job is. You're not in charge of skin, okay? Except to put on makeup, not healing. You need to be quiet. But she didn't. She's like, now I don't know how this girl got favor. It doesn't say that in the story, but somehow the wife is like, huh, I kind of want to get rid of the disease too. Have you seen him? It's gross, right? So she goes to the husband. The husband, Naaman, could have also said, woman, get back in your place. Don't you think we've tried? All of the religious leaders have tried to heal me. This has not happened. I've gone to the best doctors in all of Aram. And like, no. But he's like, I'm desperate enough. Let's try it. Because again, they just went and conquered this land and their God didn't save them. That was a big deal. A lot of times, who's the greater God? That's who's going to win. And God allowed us to lose. He allowed God's people for a lot of different reasons. That's a whole other sermon. He allowed them to lose. And so he's like, okay, maybe I will. So then check this out. Naaman goes to the king, who again could have been like, what are you talking about? All right, first of all, where'd you get this information about this religious guy? Well, you know my wife? Yeah. You got it from her? No. You know the little slave girl that walks around all the time? She's kind of falling around. Yeah. Her. You mean the slave girl that we just took from the land that we just conquered, and that's your solution? Can I please just go? He could have said no. He's like, no, you know what? For whatever reason, God is just hooking all this up to allow this healing to happen. And so again, the king could have stopped it, but the king's like, no. All right. You know what? Let's do it. And guess what? I'm going to load you up with horses and all these wagons and stuff with silver and gold and suits. And at first, when I read that, I'm like, suits? What are you talking about? You're talking about suits. I'm thinking these are probably fancy clothing that cost tens of thousands of dollars in nowadays. Like, these are like beyond Armani. This is like, you know, what Elton John will wear, right? This is like crazy $100,000 suits with rhinestones, but with real diamonds. That's what I'm thinking. And so point number two, I don't know if I said it or not, but don't get in the way. If this earpiece would listen to me, don't get in the way, bro. Don't get in the way of what God is doing. Any one of those people could have put the stop on this and be like, nah, we'll keep trying it our way. But they kept letting it happen. They kept saying, okay, which to me is another testimony that God is in charge of doing this. Because right from the beginning, the person that brought the solution to the table, we shouldn't be listening to, right? Don't point. But in the room, if somebody goes, hey, I know what we should do. And you're like, nah, let's not do that. Think of someone in your family that you're like, we never listen to that guy. That's the guy. You don't have to raise your hand. That's not. Anyway. But here's my point. Listen to God and do not get in the way of what he's trying to do. All these people kept saying, all right, all right, all right. Whether they were following God or not, they just kept saying, okay. But for us, the people that follow God, when God says, hey, do this, if he really does stop you and say, hey, go up to that person and pray for them and tell them you're going to heal their leg. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Don't get in the way. All right. So let's keep reading. So Naaman told the king what the girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet. The king of Aram told him, I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying his gifts, 750 pounds of silver, and I calculated that out at $291 per pound times 750. That's $218,000 worth of silver. I don't even know what you do with all that silver. Like, that's a lot of bracelets, right? 750 pounds of silver. 150 pounds of gold. How many of you would kill just for 1 pound of gold? He sent 150, and this ended up working out in today's market to about $2.5 million. So $2.5 million worth of gold. And then the 10 suits, just at 10,000, that's $100,000 alone. Just add the suits on top. Go ahead. Totaling just under $3 million worth of stuff. Just to go, hey, here's a letter. Now remember, this king is kind of ruling over this other king. And so he could just be like, look, heal the guy or I kill you. Just do it, right? No, he's like, no, I want you to go with this letter. It's coming with my name on it, with all these gifts. It should go fine, all right? Man. He says, the letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. That's kind of a big deal. If you got a letter from the president of the United, well, let's not use it. Just some authority that you respect and admire, okay? That was not a dig. That was not on purpose, Facebook Live. If you got a letter that says, I want you to heal him of his leprosy from somebody of great power, that'd be a little bit freaky. Because again, this is not like a simple skin disease that can be healed with regular medicine. This is an impossible, unless it's supernatural, it's not going to happen. And so you're getting a demand that's not fair. But point number three is, remember, God brings the power. God brings the power. So if God is asking you to have the faith, to believe, you don't have to muster up the faith to bring a healing in place. We don't bring that to the table. Make sense? God is the one that brings it. And so let's keep reading. Because this is probably how I would react. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. In other words, he's just like on the floor, like dying. Like, this is not good. He tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God? The answer is no. That I can give life and take it away. He's like, this is impossible. Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? Like, you know I can't do that. I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight. And again, this is a spot in the story where we might go, you know, we might stop the whole thing. You know what? Send a messenger back to him and tell him, like, that's ridiculous. Of course I can't heal him of leprosy. There's no way I can do this. Like, if you want to go to war, fine. Let's go to war. Like, any, there's a whole bunch of different ways he could have responded. Thank goodness that he's not the only character in this story right now. So, but when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay. So again, there's communication happening. People around the king are like, go get Elisha. He's flipping out. Look at the clothes on the floor. Go get him. And so then Elisha comes in and he's like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. There is a person that is actually following God. You are trying to solve spiritual problems with natural, fleshly ideas. And that's just never going to work. Watch what not I do, but watch that there's a man that follows God. And when there's a man that follows God or a woman that follows God and God is allowed to do what he wants to do, watch what happens. That's what Elisha's saying. If you aren't truly following God, that healing's probably not going to happen unless God just wants to do it despite you. But if there is a person that is following God and God is saying, Elisha, go meet the king, tell him it's going to be fine, and watch what I do. And that's the confidence Elisha has, not in himself, but in the God that he follows. And I want you to understand too, Elisha is somebody that had been following another man of God, Elijah, who also followed God and did amazing, miraculous things. So he's seen God do incredible, incredible stuff. And so that history with God and God doing incredible stuff gives Elisha the confidence and the faith in him to do whatever he needs to do. And so he doesn't stop it. And point number four, follow God's directions. Point number one, God is in control. You have to remember that. Point number two, don't get in the way. Point number three, remember God's the one that brings the power. And point number four, follow God's directions. Just do what he says. Do what he says. So let's keep reading. 2 Kings 5, 9 through 12. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. I want to stop right there. Elisha is also following what God said. Now, if it's me, and I'm just reacting to what's happening, I probably would have just ran out there and told him, and I would have done exactly what Naaman wanted to do. But God told him, don't even go outside. So leave this respected warrior. Man, if there's a warrior that comes to my house and says, hey, and rings the doorbell, I'm going to go out and meet him. You want some donuts? What do you need? Like coffee? What do you want? He's like, he sent a messenger. That's a slap to the face. But he's doing what God wants. And in God's sovereignty, he's like, yeah, don't even go outside. Isn't that crazy? That is so, oh man. But Elisha does exactly what God tells him to do. That's not how Naaman took it. Like, he's probably just doing what God wants him to do. No. But Naaman became angry and stalked away, right? I came all this way. I brought 150 pounds of gold. You could have got 10 suits if you just came out. No, forget you. Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. Isn't that actually reasonable? I just drove 150, whatever it is, miles away. He said, I expected him. Expectations get us in trouble. Especially with healing, especially with the supernatural, especially how the Holy Spirit works. Expectations get in the way. So do not put your expectations on the situation or what you think God is going to do. That causes a lot of trouble. That is another big thing that gets in the way of healing and all of what God does. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call the name of the Lord his God and heal me. I brought all this stuff to do spiritual stuff, and it should have gone this way. Forget him. Aren't the river, now you're starting to, again, tied to expectations, you start looking at the world. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar, better than any of the rivers in Israel? Remember, we conquered this land, and our rivers are cleaner. Look at the garbage in this river, right? So he just starts complaining. Why shouldn't I wash them? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? Like, you should send me at least to my own home country. So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. How many of us do that? It's not going the way I thought it would, so I'm done. If he would have left right here, we don't get the healing. This story never makes the Bible, probably. Right? So, number five, don't get in the way. Now, some of you might be going, wait a minute, that's point number two. True, I wanted you to hear it again. Don't get in the way. Naaman was ready to get in his own way and lose that healing. Remember, he's the one that's like tired of this leprosy. Check out the officers, though. They're awesome. Keep going. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? Like, go to the top of Mount blah, 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 and take, 15 goats up there and put them on your shoulders and, yeah, I would have done it. Yeah, kill them all with your knuckles or whatever. I don't know. That's a weird thing to say. They're just saying, if it was super hard, wouldn't you take the challenge and do it? Because that's the kind of healing you want. And you're expecting a great healing, an impossible healing takes impossible, feats of strength and whatever else. He's like, yeah. So he's just saying, go wash in the local river. Why don't we just go wash in the local river? How about that? And you can probably see Naaman's like anger starting to go, we did travel all this way. Fine. All right, maybe. So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. That's pretty awesome. Pretty much take a bath in the local river. Come on, let's do it. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times. Now again, he's following directions. What if we just stopped at 5? Nothing's happening. It's exactly the same. How many of us stop short of the healing? Because it's, again, what's 7 dips versus 5? And then it doesn't happen. But no, he dipped himself 7 times. He followed the directions as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child. And he was healed. I should probably say it the way it's written. And he was healed. And he was healed. It's exciting. That's crazy. He was healed. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a part of a healing where, again, it's not like I got pneumonia and I took this whatever, and in several days it actually cleared up, and you're kind of like, yeah, well, the doctors gave you medicine. It's just normal. But if you've ever been part of a healing that's supernatural, it's crazy. The first couple times, you're kind of shocked. You're like, that worked? No, something must have happened. Like, the headache will come back. That was just a weird little, like, I don't know how headaches work, but that it'll come back. Like, healings are actually kind of shocking, kind of weird. Because why? They're supernatural. They are small miracles. And so he was healed. I don't know if many of us in the room can understand the joy that he's probably feeling right now, because he's been dealing with this ugly, gross thing that makes him gross for years and years. When you walk into a room, that's the first thing you see. And he is clean, like it's the skin of young kids. Have you seen their skin? It's awesome. It's pre-acne. It's awesome. They have awesome skin, and that's what his skin is. It's the best. So, point number six. Remember, don't get in the way. Point number six. Remember, God brings the power. And you're like, wait, Pastor Mike, that was, again, a different one. That was point number three. Yes, because, again, I don't want you to forget. It's not dipping seven times that will get you healed. So don't send somebody to the lake. You know what? I know what it is. I read it. It's in Naaman, you know, it's in 2 Kings. Go dip in the lake seven times. Like John was saying in the beginning, it's not a procedure. This is not magic. In those days, they had magicians that if you do this, 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 these things would happen. This is not magic. This is led by the Holy Spirit. So do what the Holy Spirit tells you, because God is the one that brings the power. So let's keep reading. 2 Kings 5:15 and 16. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." So, like in India right now, there's beliefs in many gods, and every land had their own gods. And he's saying, I've been around the world, I've battled, and I've seen a lot of this world, and I'm telling you now, I know this is the God that can heal leprosy. This is the God that is real. There's no other gods except in Israel. And now he's a true believer. That's amazing. Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. He's so grateful right now. And that is important. When God is healing you, when God has healed you, when you're praying, be grateful. And I know that there are times he doesn't heal. In our own house, most of you know the story. My wife is dealing with cancer, and in 2015 she got it, and through procedures and all this stuff, and through God's grace, she survived. And then we got a diagnosis again early this year in February. She has metastatic breast cancer now, which is a fatal disease. But again, God has been sustaining us. Is he healing exactly the way we want? No, because I want that, like his leprosy, it's all gone, it's wiped out, it's gone. God, I would glorify you if you do that. And that's true, I would. God's not doing that right now. She's having to deal with all these medications and all this stuff. And we're gonna go through a scan this week again to find out, is it back? Is it growing? What's going on? And that's hard. And so again, with healing, God is the one that brings the power. God is in charge. Are we going to trust him? That's what we got to do. But he's excited, man. And so he's like, take this gift from your servant. Take the silver, take the gold, take the clothes. And later on in the chapter, I'm not going to read that part, but Elisha points out that there's actually a lot more stuff. There's animals. They brought animals and all these other sacrifices as well. So it's not just the gold and the silver and the clothes. There's like, he brought a whole bunch. And Elisha, again, going back to one of the other earlier verses, follow directions. Elisha goes, no, I will not. Which is crazy, because a couple sermons ago, I forgot who was teaching, we were teaching on David and Nabal. I think it was Chelsea, right? David's like, hey, can you just give us a little gift because of what we did for you? So again, don't follow procedures. oh, we never accept gifts, or we always accept. No, do what God tells you. At this time, he says, I'm not taking any gifts. This, I don't want you to say that you paid for this. I don't want to think that you had any influence over me following my God and my God doing this for you. God says, no. Okay, does that mean you guys can't ever accept gifts from someone that's like grateful that you're doing something? It's pastor appreciation. We just got a gift from you guys like, what, a week or two ago? That's awesome. So again, don't hear the details in this is how you do healings. This is Elisha following his orders. No, I will not accept this. No, Naaman urged him to take the gift. Elisha refused. Point number one was God is in control. Point number two, don't get in the way. Three, remember, God brings the power. Four, follow God's directions. Five, don't get in the way. Six, remember, God brings the power. And seven, God is perfect. God is perfect. He was setting this up the whole time in exactly the way that he wants, because he knows all and he sees all. And so do not rely on your abilities, your strengths for healing. God is perfect, so you don't have to be. In fact, that's why we glorify God so much, because just for us to be used. Elisha wasn't perfect. The little servant girl wasn't perfect. The other soldiers that urged him to, no, go ahead and get, they're not perfect, but a perfect God is orchestrating all of this. And so let's keep reading. Then Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load two of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. I just want, like, this is holy, sacred ground. This is a special place. This is God's land. Can I please just take some of God's dirt back home with me? I don't even know what he's going to do with it. But he's like, I just want this dirt. That's how he's like, this is a special place. I pray that we have that kind of reverence for God. We're sitting on some ugly blue chairs, usually uncomfortable. No offense if you're watching and you're in charge of chairs at this school. But there's nothing special about these chairs other than they are being used for God's purpose and they allow us a place to sit. And so I thank God for these chairs. I thank God for the setup crew. We are not perfect. It's not like we went out and, you know, did some Google search on the best setup people ever. And, you know, we have this amazing team. We do have an amazing team. But why? Because God empowers us just to set up the church. That coffee cart over there is not, it's not even a cart. It's three tables. But there's nothing special. There's Keurigs all over the city. But that's special because it's being used for God's glory just to make it more welcoming in here. Smell a little bit better, like more like coffee than little kids. That's it. It's not perfect. But because God is doing it, it is now amazing. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings. Look at the change in his heart. Or sacrifice to any other god except the Lord. Basically, he just became a follower of God. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god Ramon to worship there and lean on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow to. In other words, I don't want to disrespect this king, but I know I'm kind of bowing to another god, but just can you just pardon me? So, man, I'd be, and again, this is me. Did you just see what he did? No, you tell king, like, have you heard the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You need to be able to. I don't know why, but Elisha just says, go in peace. You got your flaws. I'm not trying to make you perfect. Just go in peace, Elisha. So Naaman started home again. That's just a weird part to me. I'm like, God, you just did this incredible thing, and he still wants to bow down to another god, even though he's claiming I don't even believe in him. Why don't you just say no? Elisha, again, probably following the Holy Spirit, goes, go in peace. I'm not even gonna say nothing about that. Just go in peace. That's very cool to me. You don't have to be perfect because God is perfect, all right? So God accepts us in our flaws. When our faith is too weak, it's okay. God is strong in those moments. Amen? All right. Woo! Let's talk about the shape of Naaman real quick. His spiritual gifts, I think he had faith. For the Just the idea that he was also desperate, but this little girl comes and says, "Hey, I think this is how it should go down." He's like, "All right, let's try it." And he goes to the king, the person that could, you know, chop off his head. He says, "No, let's do this." He was a servant. He served the king. He was a warrior. He did what he was supposed to do. He was a leader. He led his men, like we talked about that in his army. He was a leader. His heart, I think he had a courageous heart. You have to be a warrior, to be a leader of warriors. You got to be courageous. And I think that's something a lot of us need, a courageous heart to go, "God, what do you want? I have fear, but what do you want? Let's do this." Abilities. He was a leader. He was a warrior. And he was a listener. He listened to his wife. He listened to his soldiers. People that he has power over, he still listened actively. He went to the king and he listened to what he said. "Take all this stuff." "Okay, I'll take all this stuff." He listened to a religious leader from a different land that he doesn't even believe in. He's a listener. We need to listen more. His personality. He was trusting. He trusted this little girl from a faraway land, a slave girl, and he went. He had a quick temper, though, right? He had a little mishap. "I thought he'd at least come outside." He had a quick temper. How many of us have our quick temper? But he was also generous, and he had integrity, and he was able to bounce back. He gave away a lot of stuff, and he had integrity. And here are his experiences. He went through battles, and he had victories. So check this out. Connect battles to victories. He also had suffering, which led to healing, a spiritual victory. And so if you're suffering with anything, I'm not going to say that you're suffering for a reason. I don't ever want to do that. But is it possible that that might lead to a healing, a spiritual victory? So don't complain about your suffering. That's hard. All right, we're going to transition into something a little bit different. And so here's why. Let's put the picture up of the Circle Maker. If you were with us a couple years back, we read Circle Maker, which is a book. It was pretty incredible. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But basically, it's have faith to watch what God wants to do and make sure you don't get in the way. And I'm going to come down here. Right here, talking about testimonies, stories that real people go through can give us courage and faith, because a lot of us have never experienced a healing, a miraculous healing. Not just "I had a headache and I took a nap and it went away," but like something that can only be explained supernaturally, like God did this. A lot of us haven't experienced that. And so when you hear somebody, and they're not liars, right? But you trust. I think that's a real story. This is what happens. They remind us the enemy that he has already been defeated. So it reminds the enemy. But also, I wonder if the lack of awe in many churches is directly attributable to the lost art of the testimony. We don't give enough testimonies. Churches that see people radically saved are usually churches that allow radically saved people to share their testimonies. Is it any wonder that what gets celebrated gets replicated? When a testimony of healing is shared, for example, those who hear it get an infusion of faith to believe God for healing in their own lives. Those testimonies double as prophecies. That's crazy. When we share a testimony, we are loaning our faith because we've experienced it. We are loaning our faith to others. When we listen to a testimony, we are borrowing faith from others. Either way, the church is edified and God is glorified. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to show videos of people far away that we don't know. And that should help build your faith up, right? No. What I'm going to do now is there have been healings right here within our city and within our church. And so I want to do little interviews with people. And by the way, the person that sent this to me is Tani. So Tani, you get to be first. That's just how, I don't know if that's a rule or not, but come on over here. You can clap for Tani. It's fine. Yeah, it's good. She's part of our teaching team. She's awesome. We just make sure that it's on.
Yes. Hello. Yeah.
Woo! And so we're going to spend a couple minutes with these people. And I, again, just like the circle mate was talking about, allow it to grow your faith. So either Mike and Tani are liars right now. Hopefully you're not, right? This really happened, right? Okay. This happened, and I don't even know how long ago it was.
A couple years ago,
yeah. And this is a little bit actually different than most healings. Most healings, like kind of like what Naaman thought, I want you to come out, wave your hand around, say the name of your God, and you're going to heal me. This one happened a little bit differently. So actually, I'll let you. What do you remember about the Monday night that I texted? Because we had a leadership meeting, and then afterwards, God was like, text Tani. I was like, I just hung out with her for like 2 hours. Why are you going to text her now? He goes, text her. So tell her about that night.
Yeah. So up until that point, I had been going to leadership Monday nights. And every Monday, I would show up, and I would have this horrible headache. Just constant. And I'm not a person who gets headaches. So it was also kind of like, ugh, this is what people experience? Yeah, sorry, Danielle. I'm like, this is just horrible. And in my head, I went, well, this is just how it is. I'm on leadership. It's spiritual attacks. Whatever. This is what happens on Monday nights. I get headaches. Didn't even think to ask for help. Didn't even think to pray about it. It was just, well, this is what this is. This is my new life. So when Pastor Mike texted me, and I forget what the text was specifically, but you were like, do you need healing? Do you need something? And I sat there, and I was like, I think I'm fine. Do I need prayer? I don't know. And then God's like, your headache? You're in pain right now? And I went, oh, what? Real? Oh, yeah, you can heal. So I texted you back. I'm like, yeah, I have headaches.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, okay. And so then me being a fixer, me being like what I know has happened in the past, oh, I'll probably just pray for Tani. I don't even have to drive over there. I'll just pray for her, and the headache should go away. And for me, whenever I feel like I'm supposed to heal somebody, like, God, okay, I don't know what it is, but there's a feeling like I feel God's power. And I'm like, yes, this is about to happen. Okay, and it gives me a little more confidence to go, all right. And I wasn't feeling that. So then I'm like, waiting to text her back, like, and I don't even know did we ever turn into a phone call? Or I don't even know. I don't remember. Forgive us when you tell stories from a couple years ago, even 1 year ago, the details get kind of whatever. The big parts are real, though. All right. But somewhere in there, I'm like, God, what's going on? I don't feel the power to heal this headache, to get rid of this headache. And God's like, because she needs to do it. Train her how to do it. And I'm like, oh, that was a new one for me. Like, oh, okay, so what do I know? Tani, I think that you're supposed to do it. And what? That's weird. Come on. I thought you're the pastor. You heal it. Like, no.
You asked.
Yeah. Little did we know she's going to be on the teaching team. And so who knows? You know. But it was a training moment. So I was like, okay, Tani. And I don't even remember what it was, but basically, in God brings the power. It was different words, but we'll go ahead and use these points here. God's the one that brings the power. Invoke his name to heal. And so you did, right?
Yeah, I mean, I read that, and I went, okay, let me do this. And I just sat there, and I'm like, all right, Lord, can you please heal me? And then God's like, yeah. And then it was just gone. And I went, oh, my gosh, I've gone, like, 3 months in pain, and I never thought to ask, like, at all. Like,
yeah.
And initially I was like, yay, God. And then I secondly went, oh, my gosh, I'm such an idiot. Like, all right, cool.
That's awesome. How did God use that healing for his good and purpose?
So when I got this question, I was praying through it. I'm like, what was the impact of that? And I know for certain showing up Monday nights made it so much easier. Because I realized I was connecting this pain to leadership, where I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to Monday night because it hurts. And then once the headache started going away, it was, oh, actually, I'm enjoying being around people and being on team. And I think about, like, oh, would I even be teaching now if I didn't ask for healing and heal? Like, God, heal me then.
Yeah. Very similar question. Did it teach you anything, or is that what it was?
Yeah, it taught me to ask for help. I think for me, living in Chicago has been so much of learning how to ask for help, asking to depend on other people, depend on God. And when it was just a simple, like, all you needed to do was ask for help, like, ask me to help you, it was, oh, yeah, I don't have to be in pain all the time. Like, sometimes I think, like, oh, like, I'm just going to sacrifice and be in pain for Jesus. Yeah. And God's like, you don't have to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to be with me, and you don't have to have this pain.
Yeah. And you don't have to have the perfect prayers. Like,
yeah, that was not a perfect prayer.
No. Can you do this? Yes, I can.
Yeah, so. It was so simple. It wasn't like, get into the lake, go do this thing. It was just ask me, yes.
Yeah. And by the way, on the receiving end of these texts and conversations, my faith is growing too. Because I'm like, God, are you really doing this? Like, are you really going to teach Tawny? And I remember when she goes, yeah, oh my gosh, it's gone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's gone. Like, this is crazy. This is like so. And there's a bonus question, not throw you off, but it tried to come back.
Yeah, it did.
Explain away.
Yeah, so it went away for a while, and then one of the Monday nights, it was like this pain came back, and I'm like, oh, I know what to do. I'm going to ask for help. And prayed, and God's like, it's gone again. I'm like,
gone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it reminds me of a verse, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You've got to say no. She was accepting this for a long time, and I remember like, really, Tommy? You're way smarter than that, but she's... But she just accepted it. And so when she started saying, no, headache, go away. I know this isn't a regular headache. Now, if you guys are just getting dehydrated, you just need to drink water, get a nap or whatever. But there's other times, so follow directions. There's other times where this is a spiritual thing. When she told me, I'm getting headaches every Monday night, pretty much just during leadership. You're like, oh, I think that's abnormal, Tawny. It's so funny. You're so smart, but that one was, you know, I was like, oh. No, I love Tanya, but all right. Was there anything else you'd like to tell others about God or healing?
Yeah, I mean, I think to reiterate a lot of what you're saying is it's never going to look the same. Don't put any expectations on what the healing is. Sometimes it's going, you're not even going to know you're healed for some people. You're going to be praying like, I want physical healing, and maybe God's going to heal you spiritually or emotionally or relationally. And for me, I had the benefit of actually knowing like I got healed and that pain went away. Like it was, I recognized it, but that's not going to be true for everybody. And I think also healing happens in community. I would have just kept going, living my life in pain, but it wasn't, you know, Pastor Mike, you came in and you swooped in. You're like, you were obedient to God and community happened. And I also just encourage you guys to be like a Pastor Mike. Be awkward and ask somebody, text somebody, say, hey, do you need healing? Because initially
awkward.
I read it, I was like, it's kind of awkward. But even up to that point, we had so many awkward moments of like healing and like spiritual warfare that I was kind of like, yeah, let's do this. Like, let's see if you can heal. Let's go.
Yeah. No, that is a good point. Just be open. Like, because on my end, it was weird. We just hung out for 2 hours. Hey, I know we just hung out for 2 hours, but... But listen, if I didn't do that, God could use anybody else. He could have. He might have, you know, called Pastor Nate or whatever. But I got to be part of it, and my faith grew because of it. And your faith grew because it's awesome. And thank you so much. Let's give her a hand. Let's bring John up real quick. John Ross, how you doing, sir? You guys might remember him from opening. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Again, this is a little bit different. This might have been like more of a normal healing, right? Normal, miraculous, supernatural, but what is normal? But let's just jump right into it. John, do you remember about the prayer night when you had a headache and a pain in your leg?
I do. It was.
Explain away.
I do. It was our first night actually doing the prayer meeting. And Renee and I were setting up. We were getting everything ready. And all of a sudden, it wasn't just me. She got really sick about 40 minutes before we were going to start the meeting. No signs of anything before that. So it was really distracting. And then, you know, I'm walking around freaking out. Like, we're supposed to do this prayer meeting. Like, you know, we're supposed to run this thing and make it happen. And she's sick in the bathroom. And then I start getting a headache and a pain, a really sharp pain, like in my calf. So that's kind of what we had going into the meeting.
Yeah. And what I remember, like, feeling like something's not quite right. And this is the first prayer night and that you guys started to invite people into your home. And I was like, all right, God, is this supernatural? And I felt like God was saying yes. And again, that feeling. And again, do not go into, I need a feeling for a healing to happen. Don't do that, because I've also done it without the feeling. But I just remember it was like, yeah, pray. And I can't remember if you asked or if I asked. I don't know. But something was like, let's pray for it then. And explain what happened after that.
So after Mike and the rest, everybody else arrived, I think it was me that asked. I said, hey, can we pray over Renee? It was Renee first,
yeah.
I think. So we had her get in the center. And it was weird because it was going exactly south, I felt like. I was like, we set up this prayer meeting and everything's going south and we're failing and this thing's getting ruined. But God wanted to do something else. We ended up praying over Renee, but she was still sick afterwards. So she kind of made her exit and went to the bathroom. And I started to notice, you know, I was distracted. I had this headache and my leg hurt. And, you know, I felt it come on as all of these things were happening. So we began to pray over that. And I remember that's when you started to pray over it. And I remember specifically that it wasn't something extravagant like I was expecting in my mind. I was expecting the clouds to part and, like, unicorn to ride down, you know, and just, like, all this stuff to happen. And it just gradually kind of went away. And I remember we had to pray a few times.
Yeah.
You know, I think you prayed more than once. It gradually started to go away.
Yeah, and again, God, you talked about it in the opening. God reminded me of when Jesus prayed for the blind man, and he prayed that his blindness would go away. And Jesus said, hey, so how's it going? And the guy says, well, I can see people, but they look like fuzzy, like trees. And so then Jesus prayed again. And I remember that story coming to my head. It's like, all right, well, can I pray for you again? And he's like, yeah. And then what happened?
And when you prayed the second time, the first time it went down, I don't know, about half, maybe. And I felt it kind of coming and going, you know, kind of like it was, I don't really know how to describe it. Like, it was in the process of leaving, but still there at the same time. And then it eventually, even after we prayed and I sat there, gradually got better.
Yeah.
To where I could focus and do what we were doing.
Right.
So
that's cool. How did God use that healing for his good and purpose?
Well, he used it to enable me to get on with the meeting that we had. I definitely wouldn't have been able to continue doing what we're doing and kind of lead or direct what was going on. So I feel like he still accomplished what he wanted to do regardless of what was going on.
Right.
So of the opposition or whatever was happening.
Yeah. What did it teach you?
Wow. Definitely about expectations, mm-hmm. like you were talking about, that it didn't look the way that I expect a healing to look. I think, you know, healing is exploited. You know, I think it's been exploited a lot in Christian culture and in our country and elsewhere, to where there's a belief about it that it's something that we wield the power and that it's supposed to be something miraculous that you see on TV and it's supposed to be something crazy, and I think we build those expectations up. But it taught me that it was subtle. That God came, it wasn't some extravagant thing. He came and did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And sat with us.
Yeah.
You know? So it taught me that God is not what's being portrayed out there a lot of times, you know, when it comes to healing. So
we weren't on TV that day?
We weren't.
Dang it. We missed an opportunity.
No, it would have got it would have went viral probably.
Yeah. Our ratings would have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
We need to plan that out better.
Yeah. Next time, camera.
What would you like to tell others about God and healing?
Definitely, and again, you mentioned it before, that it's God who provides the power. It's God who's the one that shows up. And I think another thing that's portrayed is that if you don't have a certain level of faith, that it's not working because you don't have this faith.
Right.
And I think that sets people up for discouragement and despair and depression and all of these things because you don't have enough of something. And faith is something that God gives us. You know, I don't just to be able to pray, even in doubt, for God to heal something is a measure of faith. you know, that you can't do without him putting that inside of you. So that it is very much us just showing up and God's gracious enough to just use us.
Yeah.
And flow through us in that.
Absolutely. Anything else?
Definitely another thing he taught me in that was to ask for discernment as to, like you were saying before, what it is. And he's helped me kind of see that. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to discern that. We just have to step out in faith and pray. But asking God, is this just something, a physical thing? Or just to him give me the eyes to see this is a spiritual thing and this is something we need to reach out for and pray for. So,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Jacob. I'm excited. Excited. My buddy Jacob, he was a student at Darwin Elementary School where I work. I was at your school. It was his school, really. He's graduated. He's moved on. But this one is a special story to me because it rocked me. The way it went down, it rocked me. And it happened in a way that I didn't think it was going to happen. It went beyond all my expectations. Like, I was blown away, and so let's get into it. You remember about the day sitting on the couch with a headache?
Yeah.
It's all right. You need some water, man?
No, I mean,
water. You're good. Just in case, it's right here. Basically, can I give him the why you were in there?
Yeah.
So Jacob and a couple homies decided to not go to class for a little while, so they got sent to my office, and so we were just gonna, in my mind, talk about that. That was the moment, like, hey, let's talk. And I remember seeing him kind of slouched over, and usually Jacob has energy, he's ready to go, and your head was slouched down, and God was like, he has a headache, and I'm like, okay, what about it? Heal it. Okay, all right, and so we went for it, and do you remember what I asked, or?
I don't know, this is, like, crazy, because, like, I had a headache the whole day, and it's, like, I never even told you about the headache yet, until we was in there, and you were like, you got a headache or something like that? I was like, yeah, I do, I got, like, a little pounding right here, and we just went to the other room, you're like, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I was shocked, I'm like, what is it going to do?
Right.
And you're just like...
Yeah.
It's going to heal you. God told me to heal you. God was talking to you. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you was just, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, Miss Parcell.
Okay. He was, at that point, he's like, I'm in trouble anyway. Let's go. Like,
I'm like, let me at least get
Let's
my
do
headache
it. Let's
away.
Do it. And I remember specifically, God said, take him to the other room because he was with two other guys. And so we went over there and I asked him, hey, can I put my hand on your head? And he was like, yeah. And so I prayed, and I don't know the specific prayers. Again, it's not about the exact wording. It's God, you do this, headache go away. Man, I'll never forget your expression, because after I prayed, I go, all right, so what's up? Did it go away? Do you remember your response?
I was just shocked. I was just like, I was looking around, and I looked at him. I was like, what you do? What did you do? Like, I didn't feel like I just didn't feel nothing, like you said, like, you didn't feel nothing, I didn't feel nothing, just, like, the pounding just stopped, and I was just so shocked, I was like, what did you do, just tell me what you do.
Again, it's not me, it wasn't me.
Like, it wasn't me, it's God, you know, God heals you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
So, specifically, you were there, but you couldn't see your own face, this is what I saw. So I was like, hey man, so is it gone? And he was like... I was like, Jacob, is it gone? He's like, I don't know. And I was like, does it hurt still? Nah. And Jacob, you can tell, he's comfortable talking to people. He'll talk to anybody, adults, kids, whatever. Nah.
So I was just shocked.
Yeah,
shocked.
You were in shock. You were just shook. And it was cool. I'd never seen Jacob shook before. So it was definitely a God moment. Was the rest of the day perfect after the healing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, so,
What happened was...
Mike, they can't hear you. You're not talking to me. We're talking to all of
you. You're going to have to explain about that?
I so
you can do whatever you want.
What happened was that I go back to the room because I'm still in shock. I'm walking back to the other room, and then remember, there's two other people in it, right? And I was like, I look at them, and they look at me, and they just started laughing. I'm like, what's funny? Like, my headache's gone. Like, that's real. And then I think something startled me that had me a little mad, I guess, because they kept laughing about it. And I was like, no, like, this is true. This is real. Like, he really, like, you know, just healed my head. Like that.
Yeah. And long story short, he was not happy with one of the gentlemen. They had, like, a little confrontation. And I was like, Jacob, you just got healed. God just healed you, and you're ready to fight this dude. No. Relax, because he was just shook. He was just responding. He was reacting, and this guy's laughing at him. He's like, no, this is real. And so I separated him, sent the other kid back to his class, and then, you know, gave Jacob a little bit to kind of gather himself. And I was like, dude, what's going on? And I remember you going, I don't know. He's the homie. I don't know. Like, I just, and you were just shook. And so I worked it out to where the other kid went back to class, and I put him in a separate office to kind of just chill out. And then we were going to get them together, shake it out, say sorry. And stuff happened, so it took a couple minutes for this to happen. And in those couple minutes, do you remember what happened in the office?
So
you were by yourself, right?
Yeah, I was just by myself. You know, I was just having time to reflect on, you know, what could I did better. And then all of a sudden, I just had this headache come back. Just rushing, boom. And I just remember just me putting my head down, and then to the point where I was stuck in this position where I can't get back up. And then I started getting these visions, and then I was like, okay, because I really wasn't even thinking about nothing. It was just what I was seeing. I was like, what am I trying to see? Like, what is my brain trying to let me see? And then, long story short, I seen this, you know, I just seen, like, this big dude standing. And I feel like it's something like I seen before. And then I looked at it, and then there was posters and everything there. Like, so I just started drawing it out. I was like, wow, because it really shocked me. I was scared. I was like, why am I seeing these things? So I write it out and everything. And then I see a lot of other stuff, and it's just crazy. I don't really know how to
explain. It's okay. No problem. And when you're going through spiritual stuff, sometimes you don't understand what's happening. So imagine you're an eighth grade boy. You just got healed your first time. You're like, what is happening? And then all these emotions are happening. And then you start getting these visions. And it wasn't just a regular dude, right? It was this big demon. And so he just starts drawing. And Jacob's a big guy. And at our school, he's one of the toughest kids in the school. And it's funny because we come out. They shook up, sent the other kid back into class. He's like, Mr. Parcio. I'm like, what? I drew you a picture. What are you, in kindergarten? Like, what is it? You drew me a treehouse or your family? What are you talking about? I drew you a picture. Like, this eighth grade buff dude just, I drew you a picture. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But what happens next is crazy. And he was talking about poster boards and stuff because it was like science fair time or whatever it was. But if we could put the picture up, he starts drawing this because this is what he sees. You're a really good artist, bro. It's awesome pencil work. No, I'm just kidding. But this is what he sees. Describe what this is. He feels a little crazy every time. Yeah, he's really good.
Like, all right, so tall dude, super big. You know, his eye is very red. Like, but I don't know. It's just like this, like lizard eye. You know how you got the line? It's like one of those. And his mouth was burnt. And he got these scratches all over him. And it's like if one of those ropes you just hit, like one of those, and it was just hitting him. And he's just big. And then that circle where there's people around, I guess I seen a pit. And that pit had fire in it. And I guess there's people in that fire. And then everybody's screaming, like just screaming. I guess it's like they're not even dying. They're just feeling it. It's feeling the burn. It's just like internal. And I guess I seen a person. Well, you see how his arm is having a person. I seen that person, and I was like, wow. And while I was explaining it to him, I started getting emotional because that vision just kept coming back because the headache was still there. And then all of a sudden, my shoulders started falling. It was just started getting heavier and heavier. And then when I put my head down, that vision came back. The person who was right there, that was me. So I guess that he had control of me, and then he was going to throw me next. And
how'd that make you feel?
Scared.
Yeah.
I was just scared and shocked because, like, is that really me? Is that where I'm going to go? And I don't know. It just scared me. It just really scared me because it's just big dude who are just literally grabbing people and just throwing them, just keep throwing and keep throwing. And you could just hear the screams. I just could hear the screams. And
yeah. And I remember, you got really emotional. I mean, and God told me to tell him, this is not a prophecy. A prophecy is a truth that is probably going to happen, right? That God is saying, this is what's going to happen. And I remember God telling me, this is not a prophecy. This is a warning. And he was telling you, this is not what has to happen. You do not have to be thrown in there. It's a warning, though. If you continue to live the way that you are living, this is what can happen. And through that, Jacob got super nervous and emotional, and he says, well, how can we stop this? How can we stop this then? And so then I proceeded to give him the gospel, and you knew a lot of it, but just like, this is what we do. And then you made a decision to follow Christ on that day. And amen. And the most important piece to take away from all that is an openness to what God, what are you doing? Because that whole day was orchestrated by God, and there were so many moments where we could have turned it off and just said, you know what, forget this. And you gave your life to Christ that day. Like, that is huge. I thought we were going to talk about ditching. Went to a healing. Then it went to these visions, and it was it was crazy. And so all that to say, allow God to do what God wants to do. And he's not going to do it the way that you want to do it. But when you do allow God to do what he wants to do, he can do so much more than what we expect, what we can imagine, what we can even think of. And I thank you for sharing that. That took a lot of bravery and courage. And so thank you so much for sharing that, man. I really do. It means a lot to me. You want to say anything else?
I don't know. When he told me about that, I was like, at first, when I went back home, I was like, God, I think you did a little too much. I think you showed me a little too much. Because I was just scared. I was like, but it's fine. I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, I just think I just got to push on and I guess be better throughout life. Because it's all about creating that gap in life and to having the best of your life, I guess. Mm-hmm. And follow God and just doing great.
And what I want to do right now is I'm going to just pray for Jacob, because he's accepted Christ, but there's so many things pulling at him. And so what I want to do is I want to pray over him. So Heavenly Father, I pray for Jacob. I pray that you would help him to choose. I know that life is hard. And so even as a follower of Christ, it's hard for us to continually to choose you. Heavenly Father, I know because of what has already happened and what you told me is going to happen, there's so many other things that are going to try and bring him down. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help him to choose you on a daily basis and to tell the world no, and to say yes to you. So I bless him with courage. I bless him with obedience and a heart to follow you and love you and serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, sir. Give him a hand real quick. So as I bring the worship team up, as I bring the worship team up, let's worship God. Worship God and say, God, you are amazing. The application is just, it's the points over again. Remember, God brings the power. pray and follow his directions. Don't get in the way. And three, praise and worship the God of healing. Worship him. God, you are good. Amen. Amen. Amen.